It's time now for Living Theology, a weekly program in which Dr. John B. McDonald seeks to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ, living with competence and joy. With today's episode, here's Dr. McDonald.
This short new series is about working on resting. And I wonder whether that's an oxymoron. But anyway, the Hebrew word for rest is Shabbat, from which we get the word Sabbath, and it is a biblical concept for living. As someone who grew used to working 60-plus hours a week and really never being off the clock, I had a real problem with resting. So let me give you a few insights into some of the things I learned about the need for rest. First, there's a primary problem, and that problem? Well, that problem was me. Let me explain. As a youth, I had to memorize Polonius' advice to his son Laertes. That's from Hamlet, Act 1, Scene 3. It winds to a close with this piece of wisdom. This, above all, to thine own self be true, and it must follow as the night the day. Thou canst not then be false to any man. I wonder how many of us are true to ourselves. We need to remind ourselves that we are both body and soul. Some time ago, as I intended to take a holiday, a season of rest, my body intended to rest, but my soul did not cooperate. And here was my first hurdle. How do I get my body and my soul to rest? Paul Stevens of Regent College is fond of saying that we do not have a soul. We are a soul. We do not have a body. We are a body. In other words, each of us as humans are body and soul. The human soul is typically viewed as combining at least three crucial elements of our being: mind, emotions, and will. Or more technically, the cognitive, the affective, and the volitional. How can these three elements frustrate a person enjoying a season of needed genuine rest? As I explored what was working against this enjoyment of a season of rest, I discovered some basic points of resistance in my own soul. Some of you may say that these points are obvious, yet for others, myself included, we have probably lived with these soulish matters so long that we are unaware of them and the harm they can do. So let's become aware of them. Let's identify them. And let me call this addressing the cave. Here's a summary of my reflections on the acrostic CAVE, C-A-V-E. First is C, for cognitive, that is, our minds and the way we think. Many of us have been taught from childhood and through the circumstances of life that we must work, work, work. In turn, that teaching has shaped the way we think about life, that it's all about work. How insidious is this way of thinking about ourselves and of others? Here's a test. When you meet a person for the first time, what's the first question that's usually answered? What's your name? Now, what's the second question? You got it. What do you do? Or what is your work? It's so important that we know this about a person and their worth and their identity. So, be aware of that insidious way of viewing life as work, work, work. Maybe there must be a change in the way we think about life. Second is A for affective. This is about our emotions. How do we feel about taking time to rest? Some of us, again myself included, experience feelings of guilt or fear. Our fear may be a reaction to the perception that we will lose ground or lose income, opportunities, advancement. Our guilt may arise from the sense that we do not deserve time to rest, or we equate it with the negative attributes of laziness or sloth. So be aware of these established emotions in your life. Third is V for volitional. This signifies our wills, our decision-making processes. We need to decide to take time to rest. Sometimes we are unwilling to decide to enjoy a season of rest, or we may put it off until some later time, which may never come. We view other things as more urgent and necessary. We think that we can rest anytime, so we fail to make the decision. Be aware of your habit of putting off conscious decisions to rest. Fourth is E for execute. This leads us to the action of actually taking time to rest. Once we have embraced more wholesome ways of thinking, feeling, and choosing a season of rest, we need to act so that rest becomes a reality. As I mentioned earlier, moving toward a more wholesome way of thinking, feeling, and choosing was the first hurdle I identified in my own life. Next week, I'll propose a few initiatives that I identified and began to claim. You may find them helpful. Let me close with a teaser, a constructive insight into one of these initiatives for genuine rest. Here's the first concrete initiative I discovered that moved my soul toward embracing a season of rest. Here is what our Lord Jesus says to his followers in Mark chapter 6, verse 31. Let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while. Our Lord recognizes the need for genuine rest, not only for himself, but also for us. Jesus wants to experience rest with his followers. Our Lord, as Creator, cares about our well-being. Not only does he rest, Genesis 2, verses 2 to 3, he also desires us to enjoy rest. Here's what Psalm 116, verse 7 says, "Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you." And here's another statement by our Lord Jesus, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." That's the New Living Translation of Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." My God and Savior wants you to enjoy rest. So I claimed that by acknowledging this truth to myself out loud in prayer. My prayer went something like this, "Father, you care for my well-being and desire that I experience rest in the rhythms of a healthy life. I acknowledge that you give me permission, body and soul, to enjoy this season of rest, and I thank you for this gift." I'll add some more insights next week.
You've been listening to John B. McDonald in Living Theology, a program designed to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ. Dr. McDonald has an extensive online writing ministry. To learn more about John and his work, follow the links on the producer's page at HopeStreamRadio.com.